Things have changed. The miraculous healing was a proof of his deity. It was a proof that he was the Messiah. That kind of thing is not taking place the way it used to. But that doesn't mean he doesn't do miracles. And that doesn't mean he cannot do something bigger than anybody else in your life. And if there's anything in your life more impressive than the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to step back and ask yourself why that's so. Because the most important event in the history of mankind was when Christ came to die for the sins of the world. Amen. Aren't you glad he died for your sins? Amen. You know, we go through hard times in life. We have burdens and trials and suffering and heartache and disappointments or whatever you want to add to that list. But I know one thing, like the song just said, it would be worth it all when we see Jesus. What a great choice of songs this morning. And when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, the worst suffering you endured in this life is going to seem small compared to being in his presence in person. But we can still come to him right now. And so watch with me. I'm going to skip over some verses for the sake of time. I'm going to begin reading in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 14. And I'm going to drop down to verse 18, and I'm going to read down through verse 31. So let's stand for the reading of God's word and look at the four different examples. You look out for them as we read along. Matthew chapter 9, I'll read verse 14. The Bible says, "Then came to him," that's the first one, "the disciples of John, saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?'" We'll look at that here in just a minute. Skip down to verse 18. "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, 'My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live.' And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.' Amen. But Jesus turned him about. When he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And the woman was made whole from that very hour, from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, 'Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, 'Believe ye that I am able to do this?' They said unto him, 'Yea, Lord.' Then touched he their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, be it unto you.' And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, 'See that no man know it.' But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." Let's have a word of prayer if we could. Father, we come before you this morning, and I thank you for the blessing it is to be assembled with your people today. Lord, I thank you that when we come to this place, that we always know that we have the preserved Word of God, that we can open it, we can be taught by it, we can be changed by it. Lord, today I pray for each person here, young and old, that first of all, if they've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would do so today. And then I pray for those of us that have that experience of coming to him, that we would rejoice once again in the great things he's done in our life. And Father, today I pray that you'd help us to remember it's not too late to come to him or to come to him again, that he is there for us. Pray that you'd bless us now and help us to understand what you want us to see from this portion of the Word of God. And again, I pray you'd be with folks that are not with us today. Be with our children's church and the workers there. And bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. John 6:37, you don't need to turn there, but John 6:37 says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast him out." Amen. Do you understand that there's never been anybody who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he rejected them? Right. Now, he was despised and rejected, the Bible says in Isaiah. And yet, we as sinners, when we come to him, he receives us, he saves us, he changes us. He accepts us. In fact, he makes us part of his family. He gives us an inheritance. He gives us a home in heaven. He gives us forgiveness of sins. He gives us power over temptation. He gives us the Holy Spirit, discernment to understand the Word of God, the ability and the desire to pray. All these things happen when we receive Christ as our Savior. I've seen a few impressive things in my day. I was trying to think of one that might stand out. I actually got to walk up and touch one of the three great pyramids in Egypt. I don't recommend going to Egypt, by the way. It's really a wicked country. But I've seen the pyramids, and they're big. And the stones in the pyramids are about 10 feet high, and they're layer after layer after layer. And I had that experience of touching the pyramids. I've seen, of course, the Grand Canyon, the Statue of Liberty, those kind of things. And I can remember those. I can remember standing there with my hand on that pyramid just for a moment, and mostly just to say I had done it. You know, you walk up and you touch it. Okay, been there. Can you remember the day that you came to the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen? Now, if you were to ask these people in this passage, there's four different examples. There's the disciples of John. There's the ruler whose daughter was dead. There's the woman who had the issue of blood 12 years. And then there are the blind men. If you were to ask them what was the most impressive, the most memorable, the most outstanding experience in your life, I'm sure each one of them in that day and then in eternity would tell you nothing compares to the day that I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody could do for me what he can do. Amen. And you know what's great about that? It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. That's right. It doesn't matter how big your problems are. It doesn't matter how great your sin is. There's no way he'll cast you out. In each one of these examples, these people had a situation. You might accept the first one with the doctrinal question, but certainly the ruler with the daughter who died and the woman with the issue of blood and the men who were blind, they had no other recourse. They had no other options. Nobody else could help them. Now, I'm not just saying this to make you feel good. I believe it. The Lord Jesus Christ can do for you and I what nobody else can do. First of all, he can forgive us for our sins, can't he? And he's willing to forgive us for our sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. We quoted it in Sunday school. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Because of his shed blood on the cross at Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection, any human being, from the most wicked to the least wicked, if that even matters, any human being can come to him and be forgiven. Amen. And if you've done that, you know what I'm talking about. To understand that our sins are no longer held against us, that we no longer are guilty, that we no longer are destined and bound for hell, that we no longer have no hope, the Lord Jesus Christ changes all of that. And if you've ever come to him for salvation, you know what I'm talking about. And you could tell me a few things that he has done, some sins he's forgiven, the way he's been a blessing to you in that regard and so forth. Each of these people, let's look at them just a little bit. And I want to begin with the more difficult portion of the passage. We won't take long, but look back up in verse 14. It says that then came to him the disciples of John, and their need is different from these other three. Their question is one of what we would call doctrine and practice. Doctrine means teaching, and practice means what we do. And the question they had was, what should we do? Why is it, they said, that your disciples don't fast, and that the Pharisees and John's disciples fast often? And I cannot pretend to know all the answers, but I can show you some things here in the passage that will help you just a little bit. Jesus said to them in verse 15, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? And the answer is no. The Lord Jesus Christ there with the disciples, it wasn't time for fasting. He says later on in that verse, he goes on, he says, the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. And that happened when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And then he told them in John, I think it's chapter 15, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the crucifixion, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt those men and empowered those men. And because of that, you and I are saved. That started the whole process right there. He goes on and he uses two illustrations in verse 16. He says, you don't put a piece of new cloth into an old garment, for that which is put in to fill up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. And he says in verse 17, you don't put new wine into old bottles, lest the bottles break and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles and both are preserved. There are some things that go together. Fasting goes with certain things and doesn't go with other things. Now, I would encourage you, if you are convicted to fast, then do so. I will show you a couple of things in the Bible. If you begin reading, and don't turn there, but we know the Lord Jesus Christ fasted 40 days and 40 nights in Matthew 4. And then we know that Matthew gives us these instructions on how to fast in Matthew chapter 6 and mentions it here in chapter 9. In Matthew 17, they were casting out a demon when they were trying to and they couldn't. And the Lord said that that kind of demon only goes out by prayer and fasting. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was fasting. In Acts chapter 13, before Paul and Barnabas were sent on their missionary journey, the very first one, by the way, they fasted. And then in Acts chapter 14, they fasted and prayed for the churches. Two other passages, 2 Corinthians 6:5 and 11:27, described Paul's fasting. And there's no other mention of fasting in the New Testament. The epistles do not give instructions to fast. I do not have a problem with fasting. I just want you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ said there's a time to fast and there's a time not to. And he answered their question. He said, there's a reason we're doing what we're doing. And by the way, we do what we do because the Bible says so. Amen? Now, looking at these other three, look at the kind of problems that they brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, look at chapter 18. The ruler came, and by the way, he worshiped him. That's very important because the Bible says you only worship God. So if someone bows down and worships the Lord Jesus Christ, what are they saying? This is God. Amen. Some religions today say he's one of many gods. That's a lie. Some religions today say that he's not God, he's just a man. That's a lie. He is God, and he does deserve worship. And I have told you before how some of the modern versions take away the worship of Christ to cast doubt upon his deity. Folks, he is God the Son. He is just as much God as any other aspect of the Godhead. In fact, the Bible says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so when this man worshiped, he acknowledges who the Lord Jesus Christ is. If you're going to come to Jesus, you've got to come to the right one. There are some imposters out there. Folks, Christ is not on the cross anymore. He came down. Amen. Folks, Christ is not some fellow that lives in Korea that says he's Christ. The Bible says many people will say they're Christ. When he comes back, you're going to know it. The Bible says he'll descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. There'll be no question about it then. But meanwhile, there are some imposters. If you're going to come to Christ, make sure you come to the right one, not the Mormon Christ, who is one of many gods, who sinned, who had to be saved himself. My Savior never had to be saved. He's been God from all eternity. Not the Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus, who's a lesser God, a created being. My Bible says all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Aren't you glad you came to the right Jesus? If you didn't come to the Jesus of the Bible, you didn't come to the right one, it won't be the same. There are some imitations. I've seen replicas of the Statue of Liberty, not the same as the real thing. I've seen replicas of the pyramids, not the same as the real thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the real thing. Amen. And these people came to him. And when they came to him, they had impossible situations, sometimes personal ones, as with the blind man. Sometimes a situation that lasted a long time, like the woman with an issue of blood 12 years. Sometimes on behalf of a loved one who was dead. Aren't you glad the Lord hears our prayers on behalf of others? You say, Pastor, I've got a lost loved one. Pray for them. The Lord can save lost loved ones. Amen. Right here in this passage, he raises a girl who's dead, and don't want to get into the semantics there, but she was dead, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave her life again. If you have eternal life, you got it from Christ. There's no other source of eternal life. Look at these people. They all have something in common, and that something is faith. Look at verse 22. He told the woman with the issue of blood, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Look at the woman saying in verse 21. She said, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." She believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could save her. In the case of the blind men, he came to them in verse 28 and he says, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." And in verse 29, he says, "According to your faith, be it unto you." The first thing you have to do to come to Jesus is you have to come to the right Jesus. The second thing you have to do is believe his word. Amen. And listen to me, folks. Every single promise he ever made, he keeps. Right. He said, for example, he said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's not complicated, no. But it sure is powerful. Amen. Have you done that? We have some young people here, and we try to help them understand what it means to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing I can tell you is this. If you come to him and he comes into your life, he's going to make you different. Amen. Think about these people, for example. When the Lord Jesus Christ had gone from them, that ruler could tell you this. "Before Jesus came, my daughter was dead. Now she's alive." That woman with the issue of blood could say, "Before Jesus came, I had a horrible disease and no one could cure me. Now I'm cured." Amen. That those two blind men could say, "Before Jesus came, we couldn't see, and now we can see just fine." And if you ask any of them, if you said, "Prove to me that Jesus came to you, or that he healed you, that he did something for you after you came to him, prove that," the blind men would say, "Hey, I can see you." The woman with the issue of blood could say, "Hey, I'm whole, I'm healthy now." The ruler with the daughter could say, here's my daughter. All these people saw that she was dead, and now she's alive. Now I want to ask you a challenging question, and I hope we can answer this. Can you show people something Jesus did in your life?
Amen? That's good, Pastor.
Amen? Are you different? Amen. Young man came this week, and he had concerns about his salvation. And he said, "I have concerns because I still sin." You know, the fact is, when Jesus comes into your heart, he changes your view of sin. That doesn't mean you cease sinning. It means when you sin, it bothers you. A good indication of being saved is when you're saved, you see sin differently. Before you were saved, and you look at people that are lost, I'm astounded. We read about it. And by the way, the Bible says evildoers are going to wax. They're going to become worse and worse. Yesterday in Texas, not far from where I went to high school, about 180 miles away from where I went to high school yesterday, that man shot, wound up killing 7 people, wounding 20 others, I believe it was. What would motivate someone to do that? Obviously, a lack of conscience. To take loved ones away from their families. One of the wounded was a 17-month-old girl. Don't understand that. But folks, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our life, we see things differently. We see sin differently. How do you see sin? Ask yourself this question. Listen to me. How do you see sin? "Oh, Pastor, it's something that I don't really think is that big of a problem. I don't kill anybody. I wouldn't rob a bank. But sin in my life, that's not a problem." Folks, after you've been with Jesus, it's a problem. Amen. Amen? And when you sin, the Holy Spirit works in your life. Amen?
Amen?
And if you're not experiencing that, you need to get saved. Or you need to get right with God, one or the other. Now, these people had an unmistakable, absolutely astounding evidence to show that Jesus had been with them. And I find it kind of humorous at the end of verse 30. He says to these men, see that no man know it. In other words, don't tell anybody that I healed you. And at first glance, okay, I understand that. But how do you explain the fact that I couldn't see and now I do? I thought you were blind. Well, not anymore. What happened? What are you going to say? I came to Jesus. Amen. Amen? Now here's another question for you. Could your friends, could your loved ones come to you and say what happened?
Amen. That's good.
Could your friends and loved ones say, you used to be that way, now you're different? What's the explanation? Could your friends and loved ones and family members say, I remember when you used to do that and that and that, and now you don't do that anymore. What's going on? What's the answer? I came to Jesus and He changed me. Amen? That's a good thing. In fact, these fellows didn't have a problem at all telling anybody. They said in verse 31, they spread abroad His fame in all the country. Guess what? I used to be blind, now I can see. Why? Because of Jesus. I got a question for you. Has Jesus done something big enough in your life that you want to talk about it? Amen?
Amen?
Or has the devil got you convinced to be quiet? Well, if you tell somebody, they might laugh at you like they laughed when Jesus raised that girl from the dead. You know, think about that. Let's look at that passage just a minute. Says here in verse 24, He said, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. What's this, the humorous saying? Who's laughing now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. You're going to raise her from the dead. Yeah, we know that's impossible. That can't be done. And all of a sudden, it got real quiet when she walked into the room. There may be some people laughing at you now when you tell them what Jesus did. What's going to happen when they step into eternity? Amen? Then who's going to be laughing? The Bible says God laughs at man's calamity when He rejects him. Yeah, there's a humorous side of that, but the truth of the matter is there's a sad side as well. Just because some people don't believe doesn't mean I can't believe. Amen?
Amen.
Just because some people don't think Jesus can help them doesn't mean He didn't help me.
Amen, amen.
Just because some people don't think He can save doesn't mean He didn't save me and you if He did. And there's no mistaking it. There's no going back. The woman that was had the issue of blood, she didn't go back to that. The blind men didn't get blind again. The ruler's daughter, she didn't, at least not until the end of her life, didn't just die right away. When Jesus changes you, He changes you for good. Amen?
Amen.
And oh, by the way, you haven't got to get saved over and over and over.
Right.
When you come to Jesus, He does what needs to be done to save your soul for all eternity.
Praise
the Bible says He gives us eternal life. If you lost it next week, it wasn't very eternal, was it? If you had to work to keep it, you're saved by works, and we know we're not saved by works. Do you remember when you came to Jesus? Is it important to you? Is it big in your life? Is it something you can talk about? If it's not, it ought to be. Now, if you never have come to Him, it's sort of like you never have seen the Grand Canyon, or you never have seen the Statue of Liberty. I can tell you what it's like, but I cannot give you that experience. You have to have that experience yourself. I can tell you what it's like to come to Jesus, but I cannot let you know the feeling until you've done it. And when you've done it, you'll know it. That doesn't mean you can't slide back a little bit and sin, but it does mean He'll change your life. So these people came to Him. It was the most significant event in their life. He did things nobody else can do. Things that had never been exceeded before or after. Sins forgiven, spiritual sight given. Others laughed, but that didn't make any difference. What has our experience been with the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you honestly say, coming to Jesus was the biggest thing that ever happened to me? If you've come to Him, you'll know that. You know, this world is not a very happy place right now. There's a lot of suffering, a lot of sadness. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Wars, rumors of wars, horrible diseases, horrible persecutions taking place. I have no doubt in my mind that today, somewhere, somebody will die because they believe in the name of Christ. But this world is just a short period of time, and then we have eternity. Amen? And I guarantee you, if you have come to Jesus and He saved you, and you're walking down those streets of gold in heaven one day, anybody that wants to can ask you, what's the greatest thing that ever happened to you when you were back there on that earth? And you'd say, the greatest thing that ever happened was when I came to Jesus and He saved me. And when you, at that time, are in heaven, there will be people in hell. And if you were to ask them, what's the one thing you wished you would have done when you were on that earth? They're going to say, I wished I'd have come to Jesus. Now, we take all that knowledge for granted. It's right here in the Bible, isn't it? We take all that knowledge for granted. Do you realize how precious that is? Do you realize how many people don't know those few simple things I just told you? Folks, we got to do something about that. We got to get the word out. Oh, Pastor, I'm really busy. I barely have time to go to church. In fact, sometimes I can't do anything. I just have to go make money, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. I guarantee you, when you step into eternity and you look back, you're going to wish you'd have told people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Here we are. We have a church. We have ministries to reach out to people. You have the opportunity. It's very exciting to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's very exciting to bring somebody with you. Amen? Who have you brought to Christ? Have you brought anybody? I'm sure that if those blind men that had been healed came across another blind man, what do you think they're going to say to him first? I know somebody that can heal you. Amen? Amen? That woman with the issue of blood, if she came across somebody else in her condition, the first thing she would think and the first thing she would say is, I know somebody that can heal you. Now, you and I were dead in trespasses and sins, weren't we? And when we come across somebody else in that condition, the first thing we should be thinking is, I know somebody that can save you. Amen. Wouldn't you like to know about that? Say, Pastor, they might laugh at me. Yeah, they might get saved. Right. Amen? Say, Pastor, it might cost me something. Well, it might, but what's a soul worth? Amen? What does it mean to you and I that we came to the Lord Jesus Christ? How big is that event in our life? If it's not the biggest, something is in the way. If it's not the life-changing of all life-changing events, something needs to change. If it's not something that we want to tell people about every chance we get, the devil's got us twisted and turned a little bit. We need to see things the way God sees them. Amen? Real quick questions, and we're going to stand and pray. First of all, don't answer, just think. Can you remember when you came to Jesus? If you can't, you could come to Him today. Amen? Today could be that day. Second question, are you different? I've asked people, have you ever come to Jesus? Yeah, I came to Jesus, somebody says. Are you different? No, not really. I'm the same way I always was. That doesn't go together. When you come to Jesus, He's going to change you. Amen? And then the next question and final question would be this. Who'd you tell about that this week? Did you tell somebody? Well, Pastor, I'm busy. Don't we come across folks all the time that need to come to Jesus? What's more important, the weather or Jesus? Sports or Jesus? The news or Jesus? Isn't it funny how the devil can get us talking about 1,000 things, We need to be talking about Jesus. If you ask these people right here, they're going to tell you, everything changed. I came to Jesus, I'm a different person, and I can't wait to tell somebody about it. That's the same way we ought to be, amen? Let's all stand and pray.